if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're all but almost going to finish it today. We're going to use verse 21 next week to jump into chapter 6. But I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter. We're going to go over kind of where the Lord has been ministering to us and what He's been saying to us. And then we're going to dive into these last three verses that I pray really hits home for us all today. For we know that if our earthly house is tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that morality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared this very thing for us is God, who has also given us a spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in the heart. If we ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of a sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, and that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who's reconciled us to him through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We've been looking at these past weeks in this chapter what motivated Paul for ministry, what revved his motor up to do the things God had called him to do. Remember the whole backdrop of what's going on. There's some folks in Corinth who's questioning his sincerity about what he is doing. And so he's just answering their questions. In verse 1 through 8, what Paul said, a motivator for me was my confidence in heaven. In verses 9 through 13, Paul understands one day he'll stand before the Lord. That motivated Paul. And then verses 14 through 17, we saw that Paul understood that Jesus loved him, and that motivated him. And finally, this morning, we're going to understand and look at Paul understood that he had a commission from God, that God had called him to something. And the thing we're going to look at today, let's understand that God's called us all to that. We're all ambassadors, and we've all been given this ministry of reconciliation. Just a couple of highlights from each of these different studies just to prime the pump. Number one, Paul's confidence in heaven. Remember, he said these bodies we're in right now are just tents. One day we're going to roll them up, and we're going to go home, and we're going to be with the Lord. He understood the reality of that. It motivated him, and he had such confidence in it. And remember, his confidence is not just something that he come up with. He was also given the Holy Spirit. It was a deposit. Remember, we looked at it in the Greek. It was an engagement ring. It was just a promise of the beginnings of what we were going to have in Christ. The second study, we looked at the reality that Paul understood. That, remember, heaven was a motivator. Paul understood he would stand in front of the Lord. He'd be in His presence one day. And not only that, for every Christian that dies and goes home, every Christian that passes on goes home to be with the Lord. But in the future one day, we'll all stand before the Lord at the Bema seat, at the judgment seat, and the Lord will do an evaluation of the things that were done just for self and self-motivated. Remember, all those things are going to be burned up, and the Lord loves us enough that we don't have to carry around that self stuff all through eternity. This third study, which just really combined the last two studies we've been in, is the love of Christ compelled Paul. And man, I have different folks come through these doors during the week when I'm up here, and I'm doing different things. And I just wish that folks would just grab a hold, that the Lord would just open eyes up, that you know what, God loves you. You know, I love my son, and I'll do anything for my son. I love my daughter, and I'll do anything for my daughter. I love my wife, I'll do anything for my wife. I love you guys, and I'll do anything for you guys as well. And I think you guys love me, and you would do well. I mean, I would hope, you know, that you would, and I think that you would, because we love each other, right? But see, there's folks outside of the body of Christ that they're walking in a fog, and they don't realize that the Creator of the universe loves them so much. And what they're looking for is just that little temporary fix that's just going to get them maybe to the next 5 minutes, instead of that eternal fix that will get them through eternity that's found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing. For a Christian, when a Christian really just gets the heart settled on, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you, when that's worked in our hearts, we know that God's going to take care of us. We know God's going to watch after us. See, the love of Christ compelled Paul to go into dangerous situations. And remember, folks at Corinth kind of thought he was crazy for some of the things he walked into. But he said, I want you to understand, the reason why I'm walking into these things and the reason why I'm trying to be faithful with these things is because God loves me and I'm wanting to share this message. It was a motivator. It compelled him. It moved him. And really, one more thing. In verses 16 and 17, if you kind of remember where we were at, I want to share this because I think it's worth sharing. He says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things new. This love that Paul had, that he received, that he understood, that come from God, it changed the way he looked at other people. Remember, everyone has the potential to be a new creation in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think one of the bummer things that someone could say about us if we were a Christian is that person's never changed. They're still the same. That's not true. And for us, when we give up on folks, they're always going to be that way. That's not necessarily true either. Because if anyone, it's open to anyone who is in Christ, they're a new creation. Maybe we need to pray more instead of point. Maybe we should pray more and point less. What do you think the world sees the church as in America? Does it see it as a big vessel of love? Now when I'm talking about love, I want us to understand, we give the truth in love. We tell people the truth. But we do it in love. Sometimes it's all truth and it's no love. Sometimes it's all love and no truth. Neither one of those things work. We give people truth and love, and the truth that's found in the Bible. Let's don't point fingers. Let's point people to Jesus. Remember what stir... When we talk about Jesus, okay, when we share Jesus with some folks... Let's share the Jesus that we were introduced to. The Jesus that drew us to Him. The Jesus that's found in the Bible. And I think sometimes as we walk with the Lord, we construct a different Jesus. And people are not interested in the Jesus we've constructed. They're interested in the Jesus that drew us to Himself, the one that got us saved. And that's who we want to share. We should be compelled. It should be a motivator. Anyone can come to the cross of Christ and be a new creation. Should we not be the most radiant and jazzed up people on the planet? I mean, think about this for a minute. You know, I use my kids as examples because here's why. Because I see that's how I am in my relationship with God. God says no, and my kid, you know, throws it, you know how they do. Or, you know, no, you can't have that. Right. Abigail, I'm back there watching her, and we're doing different things up here before you guys get here. And she wants the crayon box open. I'm not going to open the crayon box because I don't want to pick up the crayons. You can get them later, and maybe somebody else will pick the crayons up later. But I don't really want to pick them up right now. And she's all upset. It's the end of the world because that little box with those crayons that really, to be honest with you, she don't want to play with anyway, is not open. Guys, don't leave here today thinking God doesn't love you because maybe He said no to open a crayon box, okay? So let's look at this. And really, I want us, we have spent so much time here. And I pray as we have spent so much time looking at Paul's heart and looking how the Lord worked in him and used him, that we started asking ourselves, what motivates us? Are we motivated? Are we really about the kingdom of God? Are we just kind of maybe just sitting and not doing anything? We're not motivated at all. Let's ask the Lord. We're going to stand before Him one day. Let's look at Paul's last motivator for ministry this morning. He understood he had commission from God. It was serious business for Paul. So after he says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Him through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." If we're saved today, we've all been given this wonderful ministry to share with a lost world the ministry of reconciliation, which is simply this, that in Christ we've gone from intimacy with God to peace with God. We have been reconciled to God. Now we have the blessing of telling others they can have peace with God too through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at verses 18 and 19. After Paul shares with the folks at Corinth about being a new creation in Christ, he says this, "Now all things are of God." All things are of God. Paul wants these guys to understand that what he is writing are the things of God, not of man. This work of a new creation, this internal destiny, is of God. It's not something we earn or something we achieve. Paul's been sharing the things of God. What? And that ought to be a weighty, heavy subject for us. I listen to how some people just share the gospel and they're so nonchalant about it and so matter-of-fact about it, so indifferent about it, so know-it-all-y about it. Man, this is the things of God. It's holy business to start doing soul craft with people. And we go about it so nonchalant. What Paul's been sharing and what he wants the church of Corinth to understand, I've been sharing the things of God. Notice what he says next. And remember, this is a plan that was on God's heart for sinful man. Man did not come up with it. This was a plan that God came up with. Out of all the ways God could have saved man, God chose to do what? Send His one Son to humble Himself, to die on a cross. Man, if you're questioning about how much maybe God loves you today, don't get tired of looking at the cross. God came up with this redemptive plan. God came up with this incredible plan. But not only that, that is a very intimate, heart-level plan. God desired to be in relationship with us. And so He went about His business to make that right and provide an opportunity for everyone to have a relationship with Him, if they so choose. These are things of God. You know, when we come in here to worship and sing songs and sit and fellowship with each other and pray for each other and look to God's Word, let's have some reverence. I'm not saying that we don't joke around and this and that. I don't think that we should be, as Christians, devoid of personality. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. I like to have fun and laugh and enjoy as much as everybody else. And I love to see everybody laughing and having fun and enjoying. Last thing we want to see when we come in here is a bunch of people been sucking on lemons, right? We ought to be ecstatic about it. But in the midst of all that, man, let's understand something. We're God's kids. We're coming in here and we're looking at the things of God. The Creator of the universe is wanting to communicate some things to us. He's probably wanting to get our attention on some things in our life that no one else is going to be able to get our attention with. And He's wanting to speak things. He's wanting to encourage us in things. You know what? He's wanting to expand our horizons with some things. I doubt any of us, including myself, wake up and say, you know what? I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm on a special mission. God's put me here in this foreign land to share a message from my King. And we'll get to that, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But is that not exciting? I mean, that's some serious purpose. You know, I worked in a machine shop for 20-something years, and I enjoyed it. But I got to be honest with you, other than feeding my family and putting clothes on my back and keeping the lights on, it was devoid of purpose. This is real purpose. You know, Paul's been talking about his motivation. And remember, part of it was, I'm going to stand before the King of Kings one day. These are the things of God. I tell you what, one thing I enjoy about having little kids is they just soak this stuff up. And it's amazing. Like Jonathan will want to pray with his sister before she goes to bed. That blesses me. Jonathan, when he prays, I mean, it blesses my socks off. I want to share something with you. Man, I'm just kind of all over the place, but I think it's worth sharing, so I'm going to share it with you, so bear with me. Last night, we were at home, and I had this old Jeremy Camp DVD concert where he's singing some of his worship songs, and I haven't looked at it since I was single. It's just been sitting there. And so I put it on. And I'm just enjoying it just like I did 8 years ago or whatever. My son gets up in my lap and he's enjoying it. And then you know what God just spoke to me? He said, you know, when you were living by yourself in your trailer and you were waiting on me to bring this precious wife, you never thought that 8 years from now you'd put this DVD back in, be sitting in Longview, Texas. Okay, moved to Longview, Texas, because God called you to plant this church and all this other mess. But not only that, to give you a son and a daughter, and you would all be sitting there together and just kind of singing this and enjoying. You never thought that. You just thought that, okay, well, I'm waiting. I'm in a trailer out in the country. I got to go to work tomorrow. See, when we start really enjoying the Lord and start really kind of fastening on His heart, you know what we don't realize? Or what we will realize 8 years down the road is God was working and He was moving all along. Motivation. Motivation. Look at what he says. After Paul shares, okay, we're there. God's reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. God's initiated the ministry of reconciliation, even though He is the innocent party. He's not the guilty one. He reconciled Himself to us. We didn't have to reconcile ourselves to Him. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans, Romans 5, verse 8 through 11. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received reconciliation. You know, you hear the reconciliation. The reconciliation, that's a big fancy word for peace has been made. But there seems to be one word that's left out. It's if there's no peace to be made, then what happens is wrath. That God provided a manner in which we could live at peace with Him, and He desired to be at peace with us. You know, one day God's wrath will be poured upon this planet with a Christ-rejecting world. And man, praise God, if you're in Christ today, you're going to be raptured out of this place. Because you don't want to be a part of that mess. Never forget, God brought this about because of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. David Guzik said this, God did this through Jesus Christ. God did not reconcile us to Himself by neglecting His holy justice, giving in to sinful, rebellious humanity. He did it by an amazing, righteous sacrifice of love. God demands not one bit less justice and righteousness from man under Jesus, but the demand has been satisfied through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we talked about all things are made new. Therefore, everyone in Christ is a new creation. Should we not be told? I mean, in Christ, we're innocent. We're justified. Should we not be excited? I guarantee you, if today, Kyle, okay, today you're a free man, but if you knew that you were going to go to prison tomorrow, what would you be feeling right now? Bummer! Locked up. Not only that, I mean, yeah, hey, what are you doing here? We don't want you here. We're going to call the cops. No, I'm kidding. But you're going to be placed on death row tomorrow, and you know that today. But they're not going to drag this thing out for 6 or 7 years. You got a week. What are you thinking about? You're bummed. Yeah, right. But before the service is over, someone rushes in and says, you know what? The penalty's been paid. You're free now. What would you feel like? I would feel ecstatic, and I think everyone in this room would. See, I think sometimes we forget truly what we've been saved from. We understand we've been saved, but we forget truly what we've been saved from. Because the alternative is an incredible bummer. We're no longer objects of God's wrath. Okay? I love 1 John chapter 3. Behold the manner of love that the Father's lavished on us. I think that's the NIV version. What an incredible thing to be blessed with. Let's not forget the last part of verse 18 because it's really important. See, this wonderful thing of God Paul's writing about, reconciliation, moving from intimacy with God to being at peace with God because of Jesus' death on the cross. Paul says this to the Christian. Not only does he say, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, but He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Guys, we've been given good news to share with a lost world. And this is a big part of our job, telling folks about Jesus, letting folks know that in Jesus you can be saved, and letting folks know that they can be saved is also letting people know that they're lost without Jesus. And all will be lost without Jesus. See, we live kind of in a politically correct world that wants to skirt around the fact that apart from Christ, you're doomed to hell. And hell, understand, biblical hell is separation from God, a God that loves, separation from everyone who ever loved you and who you loved, utter darkness. You know, I've heard people kind of joke about hell and said, well, we'll be down there playing 42. No, sorry, won't. Not the hell that I read about in the Bible. It should break our hearts. And in the same sense, it should be a motivator for us because we've been reconciled with God. We've been let off the hook because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to share the good news. You can be free. You can be at peace with God. All you have to do is come to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. It costs absolutely nothing. Spurgeon said this, we're not called to proclaim philosophy, metaphysics, but the simple gospel. Man's fall, his need of a new birth, forgiveness through atonement, salvation as a result of faith. These are our battle axe and our weapons of war. Paul's heart, when it came to sharing this blessed news of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said this in Romans, I'm a debtor both to Greeks, the barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. So much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to those who are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, the Jews first and then the Greek. Paul saw he had a debt to pay. Paul was ready and Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because Paul understood what he was sharing with folks was reconciliation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can have peace. You can move away from wrath and have peace. Man, I had to go to Mount Pleasant on Friday and I drove back through one of the towns and they're doing this, and I'm not being negative, but I'm going to use this as a point. There's this big building project going on at this fellowship, a real nice building. And there's this big, nice electric sign that you would see at Herschel's, but that's another story, okay? But anyway, I look up there and I see blended worship at such and such time, contemporary worship at such and such time. And I just was like, okay, so essentially what the church's job is to cater to people? That's what it's about? You know what really should have been on there? Reconciliation opportunities presented Sunday morning. But no, let's cater. Oh, you like this music? Okay. This is the music you need to worship? No. Oh, okay. Now I think that, you know, we should definitely have some decent worship music. Don't get me wrong. But let me ask you this. Should we not just spontaneously be about worshiping the Lord if we've been reconciled and now at peace with God? I mean, see, the church is losing its focus in what it's called to do. We're not called to be the social gospel. We're a life-saving station for people. We study the Bible. We study the Bible so we can be disciples. So we can be built up in the things of the Lord. So we can be passionate about the things of the Lord. So we can share with a lost world. You know, I told you we went to San Antonio and we got to spend some time with some folks last week and around their fellowship, and it was just really cool to see what the Lord was doing. But they used this to describe certain folks that had come into their fellowship that were just kind of all over the place, okay? And they would have to go and they'd have to talk to them in truth and in love and kind of settle them back down because they'd just be kind of a little disruptive. But here's the deal. Through grace, through love, and through truth, those folks eventually turned into what they call trophies for Jesus. In other words, they grew up, they loved the Lord, they served the Lord, and they shared Jesus. That's what the church is about. We come and we fellowship together because, you know what, the world stinks. We come and we fellowship together because we want to be built up in Christ and we want to go back out and we want to tell people about Jesus. The best advertisement for any fellowship is the folks that come and share Jesus wherever they're at in the community. We're looking for some great big thing to do when God's saying, hey, the person next to you needs to hear from me. The person next to you needs to experience love. Paul really understood it and he got it. And I pray that we would do that as well. Look at verse 19 as he just continues talking about this reconciliation. That is, that was God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It was God who moved towards reconciliation, not man, and God and His Son were working together for a supernatural goal. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself through all the suffering of the cross. God the Father was working in God the Son, reconciling the world to Himself. The Father and Son together on the cross. God was in Christ reconciling the world. And it's more amazing. Okay, at some point on the cross and all the pain and all the gore and all the sweat and all the stuff, when Jesus said it was finished, there was a transaction that was made. There was a super transaction that was made where, you know what? Innocent. Justified. The penalty had been paid. The Father and the Son working together with one accord to provide a wonderful opportunity for man. No longer is sin imputed against you. Not guilty. And you know what? This just... The gospel message works. If it did not work, God would have not have given us the gospel message. God doesn't give things that does not work. If Fred wanted to borrow something from me to work on his car, let's say he wanted a 15-millimeter open-end box-end wrench because he's driving a Toyota and it doesn't have standard. I'm not giving him a 12-millimeter. It's not going to work. It's too small. I'm not going to give him a 19-millimeter. It's too big. He's coming to me. He's asking for a 15-millimeter. I'm giving him a 15-millimeter. God gave us the gospel. It works. It's the way He chose to save men, to share the good news of Lord Jesus. And we're like, well that's not intellectual enough. That's not flowery enough. It worked 2,000 years ago. It's working overseas. it will work here. Because at the end of the day, people lie down. People lie down at night. Okay? They lie down at night and they know whether they're saved or not. They may not show it. They may not say it. But they know it. I knew that. I knew I was not saved even if I didn't want to own it. Coming to saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not inviting people to become part of a country club. We're not inviting people to become part of some little social situation. We're inviting people with the opportunity to be at peace with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And think of all the things that the church gets hung up on. Coffee's too strong. Air conditioning's too cold. It's not cold enough. I mean, we could just go on and on and on. Stop it. Well, they're wearing... They didn't tuck their shirt in. Well, he's not wearing a tie. He is wearing a tie. Just the goofiness. And all the while, there's people walking down to the pit of hell while the church is trying to do its little thing. Reconciliation. It was a motivator for Paul. He understood he had a commission from God. And every one of us in this room has been given the same commission. Now, it's the cool thing about a commission. That means that there's someone else that's really in authority. We're just acting in their authority, right? Let's never forget, we've been given a word to share with the lost world. It's Jesus saves. And one more time, I want to read this. God demonstrates His own love towards us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than that, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved through wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also in God through Lord Jesus, whom we have now received reconciliation. Spurgeon said this, "There's been a long-standing quarrel between God and man. It commenced the day when our first parents hearkened to the serpent's voice and believed the devil rather than the Maker. Yet God's not willing for that quarrel to continue. According to the goodness of His nature, He delights in love. He's the God of peace, and He has on His part prepared everything that's necessary for perfect reconciliation. His glorious wisdom has divined a plan whereby, without violating His justice as the judge of all the earth, without tarnishing His perfect holiness, He can meet man upon the ground of mercy, and man again can become a friend of God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Blessing. So we've been given this wonderful ministry, every one of us, if we're saved today. If you're not saved, then guess what? I'm offering you an opportunity to be a part of this wonderful ministry, which is to be reconciled unto God. All right? But not only that, man, we're ambassadors. And you are to get stoked and excited about this. Verse 20, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." Okay, we've been given this wonderful message from our King. We're ambassadors of, we are living in a foreign land. We're coming to a foreign land and sharing a wonderful message about our King. And through God was pleading through us, we implore on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. When was the last time we did any pleading? Really? When was the last time that we were so brokenhearted over the fact, okay, because here's part of being an ambassador that we kind of zero in on, is we're representing a king from a foreign land, okay, and we want you to understand something about our King. One day our King's going to show up and He's not going to play around. So we're offering you an opportunity for peace. See, since we know our King, since we know that we were on the other side of the coin, I want to ask you a question. When have we been moved to plead? Maybe not so much with that individual, maybe just through prayer and intercession, pleading for that person's salvation, asking the Lord to move on that person's heart, asking the Lord to send someone to share the message if they're not going to listen to us, asking the Lord to bring the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon that person so they would come to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I guarantee if you have kids today and you're saved today, you're pleading to God for the kids' salvation. You want them to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. What about that jerk that we work with? That's a pain in our rump. He wouldn't be a pain in our rump if he came to Jesus, maybe. Not so much. Pleading. We need to know who we are. We're God's ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors. Paul sees that he serves in a foreign land and he represents a king, and the king has a message, and Paul's delivering the message as though God were pleading through us. Something we need to understand about our job to the king we represent in this foreign land. There's so many pictures we can draw from being an ambassador, but here's just a few. Hey, you wanted to be an ambassador, right? You kind of thought about working. You are. Okay, here you go. God answered your prayer. Ambassadors are chosen. And Christ chose Paul to be his representative. Paul did not represent himself. I think that's very important to understand. It wasn't about Paul. Remember what he said in 2 Corinthians 4:5? For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Paul represented Jesus. His message was the gospel Christ had committed to his trust. We read this in 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But we've been approved by God and trusted with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing man, but God who tests our heart. Paul's heart was to please Christ and be faithful to the task that he was given him. He was God's ambassador. Ambassadors are protected. An ambassador must be a citizen of the nation he represents. And Paul, like every other Christian, is a citizen of heaven. Philippians 3:7 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Ambassadors are held accountable. Ambassadors represent the countries and they say what they're instructed to say, not what they want to say. They know that one day they'll give an account before their king. And we've seen that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9 through 11. We're ambassadors. Ambassadors are called home when war is declared. God's not yet declared war on this wicked world, but one day He will. There's a day coming of wrath. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, "To wait for His Son from heaven, whom raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come, that will judge the wicked." But Christians will be called before that day comes. They're going to go home. Serious business. Man, maybe we've lacked purpose because we just got distracted. It's easy to get distracted in the culture we live in. It's easy to get distracted in the church culture we live in. The church culture we live in is a little overcomplicated. We got to do this, or we got to do that, or we got to do this, or how can we get people to come in? But you know what? You know what Jesus said? When the Son of Man is lifted up, He'll draw men unto Himself. When it's about Jesus, guess what? People will be drawn to Jesus. Let's get focused. Let's get motivated. Let's start looking at things through just God's eyes. And I get distracted just like everybody else. You know, let's wake up tomorrow. Let's wake up tomorrow. Let's don't worry about next week. Let's don't worry about Thursday. Let's don't worry about Friday. Let's wake up tomorrow and say, "Lord, what would you want me to do today?" Keep it simple. You know, I'm not worried about the well that needs to be dug in Africa. Pray about it. Or the orphans that are starving over there, pray about it. I've got to focus on what God's calling me to do today, because I seriously doubt it that I'm going to be able to track a plane with a shovel and go dig. God could provide that, but I don't think He's going to do that tomorrow. I seriously doubt He's going to send me to go do this or go do that, but He has put us here in Longview, Texas, and there are people here, there are people in our Jerusalem that need to be reconciled to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, because time is running out. The wrath of God is coming soon. Okay? We as Christians are not to just hole up somewhere in a hole. That's not the church. We're called to move and just share Jesus with people. And it's not about getting people to come here. It's about inviting people to the kingdom of God. Now, on a side note, I want to tell you something. I think you guys do an absolute wonderful job. I see the love of Christ in each and every one of you. I know that you guys pray. I know you guys read your Bible. But I just want to encourage you. I want to be encouraged. Because how many hopeless cases did you run across at Walmart this week? You just thought, wow, that's sad. Let's be encouraged that we've been given a message that works, that God has equipped us to share this message. We're His ambassadors. And we're offering people an opportunity that comes around once in a lifetime. Because once this life is over right here, apart from Christ, it's a lose-lose. So let's close with this. We've been talking about motivation for the past month, and Paul was motivated by facts. The reality of heaven, the reality of standing before Jesus one day. Thus, Paul wanted to please Jesus. Paul knew God loved him. Paul understood he had a commission from God. He was God's ambassador and had a message of reconciliation. Notice the common theme of Paul's motivation. It was Jesus, therefore it was about Jesus. He wrote this in Philippians, and I think it's worth sharing today. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted for loss. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I've suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Guys, let's just keep it real simple. Let's keep it about Jesus, and then our motivation will be about Jesus. Don't be overwhelmed. Just be overwhelmed by God's grace and His love and His mercy. And watch the doors that the Lord will open for us to share this wonderful ministry He's given each of His kids, offering peace to a Christ-rejecting world. 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 Peace to a Christ-rejecting world.